Hey, Warriors, and welcome back to another episode of Warrior Within. I do hope you had a great week. Mine's been okay. It seems like the trees do interesting pollinations because right now my two worst trees are actually back up on top, and I've been feeling it for the past few days. I've been taking Claritin, and another blessing is I got a primary doctor, and she even suggested, maybe taking one or two. So I'm back to feeling kind of icky and a little bit in some ways, but not too bad since I'm taking the Claritin. It's been really helping quite a bit. But anyway, so a couple things. One, if you guys have not joined the Discord, you should. There's things happening there. Lord's doing things. Men are stepping up to maybe start groups for people to join. Even I'm gonna take on a. See if I can start a group on there for new Christians. I feel like that's a little bit of the push that needs to be because there's quite a few men that have joined that are young in the faith, maybe even young in age, and they just need to have a little in depth. So if you've been looking or thinking or considering and you're wondering, I would suggest getting in there. I've been able to watch men be there for one another. Once again, if you join, you want conversation, you want to connect, you got to reach out to me. There's a few other guys there that are helping me out. You can reach out to Steve, you can reach out to Eulogy, and you can also reach out to Magic in there. And yes, some of them have different IDs because, we don't all know each other, and some people don't want to really use their name quite yet. But, I have a few guys that are kind of helping with staff dealings and good men, men who want to serve God, and that's what God's asking. That's why today is actually also very important. I'm calling it the banner of fear. And the reason why I'm talking about fear is that it seems to be number one, or at least one of the top things I've noticed with men in their words and responses to certain questions, and even myself. So the idea is fear always seems to be the one thing that keeps us from doing what God really wants us to do. Why don't you think about that for a moment? Because I hear men, they'll say, "Oh, I don't have fear, I don't have fear." But then when you start talking about things about their life, there's moments where you can hear in their voice almost like God's leading them to do something, or there's an answer, or they're trying to figure out things, and there's a I would say like a pea-sized poke in the back of fear that kind of gives them a sense of, hey, where you're at, you don't really need to change because you're comfortable. If you go and do this, this may open the door to something else. This may take more of your time. You may not be able to do other things you really want to do. Or, and it just like you start seeing this trend of excuses. And then when those excuses become strong enough, they become the shield of pride again. Because they rather stay in the corner that they're at. Let's step forward in faith. Oftentimes, the Lord is telling us to do something. The Lord is showing us something. The Lord is trying to get us to make this decision versus what you're doing right now. That's why the Holy Spirit dwells in us, because his job is to keep us aligned with truth and walking with the Lord and living a life in righteousness and walking as we're supposed to be, which is once again, I will say again, as a mentor and mentees to all men and our family, our wives, maybe even a step kid or maybe adopted kids that we have, or maybe a young couple in your church or that you met that lives next to you. Whatever it may be, we're in that state, we're in a constant state of mentor mentee for ourselves. However, individually, because I'm not where you guys are at, you're not where I'm at. God's going to open doors specifically in areas that he has placed you in to be able to be used. That includes work life. That includes your next door neighbor. That includes being a part of your church in a different way. Maybe it could be any area of your life that God is asking you to do something. But then there's that moment where we wheel up that banner of fear and we're just making all these different excuses for why those opportunities won't work. Because we rather stay comfortable, safe, or normalized. That's fear. That's fear stepping in. That's fear trying to get you to not listen to the Lord and listen to yourself. You see, let's go and look at something that kind of stood out to me. It's going to be Joshua, because we know there's like all, you know, all these characters that, you know, all these people that are in the Bible that we, if you went to science school, you were taught and talked about. But let's focus on something in the writing. See, in Joshua 1:1-9, this is Moses is dead. Joseph has been told, hey, you got to go across. You're going to go and take the land back. And we see when we, you know, we go down to those famous phrases of verses, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way, move down, prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Have I not commanded you, and this is once again, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These verses get used all the time. We hear them. They use it for, you know, hey, you know, don't be fearful. Don't be scared. But there's a few things that we got to look at in these verses. And I'll be coming back to these verses again. So let's go to, there's three words to stand out. Fear. Dismayed, courageous. I think strong is something we've talked about a lot. Technically, that would be my fourth word, but we've talked about what it means to be strong. We're going to focus on these three because in a lot of verses, even down the, you know, scripture down the road, fear and dismay and courageous are kind of like a theme a lot. And strong is always implied with it because I think for us to understand these other three, strong will be, make a better, we'll have a better understanding of strong, being strong. Okay, so fear, feeling like you're in danger, threat, or in some form of pain or hurt, right? Dismayed, being basically distressed, anxiety, upset, concerned, worrying, things that we shouldn't be, those two, we're not supposed to be those two. We're not supposed to feel like we're in danger. We're not supposed to feel like we're threatened all the time. We're not supposed to feel like we're hurt. We're not supposed to be distressed. We're not supposed to have anxiety because our faith is in the Lord. However, I want to clarify a couple things. Sometimes anxiety and some of these like fear-facting stuff that comes and happens to us can be actually based on our body and our body not functioning correctly to use the function of our flight and stay type mindset, or being like in my case, crazy stressed out no matter what I do, because there's, as you know, my doctor will be dealing with me, helping with some internal issues of my body to be able to try to balance out so that my body's running correctly. Okay, so rewinding back, he's telling him, don't be fearful, don't be dismayed. But then he also says, be strong and courageous. What does courageous mean? Courageous basically is do not allow pain, danger, threat to hold us back. That's the main idea of understanding courageousness. I usually say it this way. Courage is when you walk through what scares us in faith and trust that God has us no matter, like has taught us no matter what. That God has taught us no matter what. So we're learning to understand how to walk in courage. I know a lot of people don't like Christian movies because of the way they do it, but Courageous actually wasn't too bad. I did enjoy it. I think it had some cool stuff about it. however, I do have to say, you don't do what they did in that movie unless you understand who you are in Christ and that you study God's word. I did experience where the pastor kind of forced men to sign those papers without actually teaching them anything. And I felt like that wasn't right. Anyway, there is something in that movie that's important to understand if you're going to understand being courageous. And we have to be careful. Well, I'm not that careful, but we need to understand some of the things that go through our minds and our heart when God is asking us to do something. Courage is not something that only some people have. Courage is not something that only those born with can have. I want you guys to think about that for a second. See, courage has to have something to come from. And being strong is connected to understanding being courageous. Okay? Psalms 27:1 states, "The Lord is my light and my salvation; whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life; of whom shall I be afraid?" Now we use that a lot, but we never really stop to really think about what it's really saying. You see, if we know that God sovereign is our Lord, sent Jesus, we understand that. Salvation is not necessarily talking about Jesus. Salvation is talking about that God comes to save those people, basically are walking in truth. And then it says God is my stronghold of my life, and being a stronghold means that I have somewhere to go to be under protection, support, taken care of, provided. First part is like taking the step out because we know that he'll save us no matter what, and he is my light, meaning that he is walking, that like there's a form of walking forward, in darkness there's a light, right? Because we talk about the Lord, the word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path, right? There's a connection, understanding that we're in a world that's dark. There's a lot of bad things going on. There is the world's worldview on things. And yet, God's word will be like the light, and it will shine on truth, and it will open up a path. It will show us where we're supposed to go. But when things do get rough, and it seems like it's just like, man, nothing is going right, you can come back to the Lord. You have a place, a stronghold, right? And then if we go to Psalms 23, going back on the Psalms, we know that there's the one sentence on verse one, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we've talked about this. Being a shepherd means there's two things he holds, one a hook, one basically a staff. Hook is to pull sheep over and make sure they stay on track, and the stick is to defend and protect. Right? But once again, there is someone guiding us forward, and then there's someone still protecting us, right? But here's the thing. Are all the sheep, do they go through everyday life without anything bad happening? No. Do all the sheep survive until they're old? No. Do some of the sheep, you know, break a bone, get hurt? Yes. So I want that to kind of be in the back of your mind as I continue reading the verses. Verse 2, well, it says, I shall not want. And verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It means he feeds us, takes care of us. He restores my soul. When we're down blue and frustrated, anxiety, depressed, we can go to the Lord. He can restore that is broken. And it may not be necessarily just a spiritual transformation. It could be using doctors or using counseling or using other people to help us focus on the truth again. And to maybe, you know, we might have to take some supplements or meds that help our dysfunction and our chemistry. I mean, we're in a cursed world. We're broken. We're not fully perfect. In verse 3, then he says, leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He's like, God's always going to lead us to righteousness. Okay. However, then verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Once again, a refuge, right? We are being protected through the battles, right? Then it goes down to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, there is something in here that's all connected to understanding and courageous. To be courageous, you got to believe what I just read. Not just read it, but believe it. This is not telling us that our life is going to be hunky-dory. However, there will be blessings, provisions, and opportunities, and open doors, and God will ask us to step through. He will take care of us even when our enemies are seeking out to do evil to us. This is supposed to be reinsurance that when we say, okay, Lord's asking me to do this, I will not allow fear to dictate how I feel and how I should react. I should take that step knowing that I have my shepherd, my Lord, behind me, with me, walking with me, carrying me, holding me, protecting me, through the hardships. And even if my valley doesn't come out to the end as I wanted, or even for someone else what I wanted, I mean, this goes right back to, you know, I've been praying for the Lord to heal my body, but my body's still not healed. My body's still breaking down, falling apart. Did God break his promises? Did he not help anybody? No. Once again, we will not be perfected until heaven. However, he can use every moment that we do have here to impact somebody. That maybe one person will see Jesus through us by how we live. And even though I may die from some disease or issue or not live as long as some other people, what I should be making sure is when I do spend time reaching to people that they know that Jesus loves me, that Jesus loves them, that I'm a sinner, they're a sinner, and that Jesus died for both of us. But the difference is I have his grace, do you? So this all wraps up to understanding something else. God is our refuge, our rock, our shepherd. His promises are true. But when he asks us to do something, to follow him and go, do we hide? Do we go? Because I know there's some men out there that have probably been working jobs for 15 plus years. There's probably some guys even less years, and y'all may have good paying jobs, opportunities, open doors. But did God send you there? Did God send you to go take these jobs? Or is this something that you felt this is what you're supposed to be doing because this is what maybe your parents pushed you in? This is what maybe the society is telling you is the best way to live. And maybe it's, but the thing is it what God asked you to do? That's one thought. Second thought, has God been asking you to do something and you've been holding back? He asked you 10 years ago to do something and you're still thinking about it. It's 10 years later and he's still asking you to do it and you still haven't done it. And now you're starting to use excuses or the concerns that you have. It's too late. I'm too old. But I've been working at this job for so long. I don't want to lose all the time I've accumulated with the company. Because when I retire, I want to have the money. But I have insurance. If I try to do something else, I may not have insurance to take care of my family. I'm making amazing money. Why would I want to give up? Why would God want to take that away from me? That's fear. That is fear. You are trusting your current situation for God. I know it sounds harsh, but it's true. You are trusting in your comfort over God. I have been a living example. I don't know what's going to happen to me down the road, but I've been a living example of never having one job for very long. And it's not because I couldn't hold it. And it's not because I didn't care. It's because God kept pushing me in other directions. You know, after high school, I wanted to be a PE teacher and coach. So I went to school to try to do that. Didn't like the science classes. Ended up coming back. Didn't know what I wanted to really do. I picked architectural design because I did like designing and it was cool. And I had a thought like designing churches for churches, you know, for people that wanted a church building. But I didn't want to become an architect. And the jobs I started getting weren't getting me anywhere. And so when I stopped and asked God, what do you want me to do? After 4 years, he told me to go back to school. So I stopped and I stared, you know, at the screen looking at it and saying, but Lord, I know I can't go without a job. And he says, do you trust me? Key word, do you trust me? And I said, yes. He said, quit your job, back to school. Got you. I did that. I quit. Found out a few months later that I might have been fired because they were laying off people. I'm older. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I can't get into the housing that they have for students. So what do I do, Lord? So he provided this guy, an older guy, a guy going for his doctorate. He had a house, a room, and provided it all just before I needed to get there. Another young guy joined, like he was a freshman. He could get into the dorms, so he ended up living with us. He's now a really close friend of mine, and we talk to each other maybe two or three times a year. We text message. He has a wife. He has two kids, and I am so grateful for his friendship. Even if we don't get to spend every day to each other, we can get in conversations and just enjoy each other's conversations. That was a huge blessing. I left that thinking, man, I'm going to jump into some church. Someone's going to hire me. End up coming back to my home church and getting treated not the best that I thought was going to be best because people didn't even consider talking to me about what happened prior with the former youth pastor. and things that went on there when I wasn't even there for a year, guys. I wasn't even there for a year. And so they just threw me into the rest of the pile. And so no jobs came from there. Couldn't get a job anywhere else. Ended up part-time after part-time after part-time. And I just sat there staring at the Lord. I don't understand. That was the most poor time that my wife and I ever had. Poorest. And yet God provided. God showed. God had people come into our lives at the right time. God did amazing things. And I got my first ministry job. Great time. Didn't end well. But God still provided. Showed good and bad things. Still provided. I still trusted. Took every step. It was amazing. I realize I kind of jumped ahead in my thing. So I'm going to rewind just a little bit. So back understanding, because God's like trying to talk to you guys. So I said, this is fear. You're trusting your comfort over God. You're trusting in God is stepping forward, knowing who he is and who is behind you. I talked about this a little bit in the episode of Toy Sword, because the idea was that when we were younger, we used to go out into these imaginary battles without question. We knew we had our parents at home. We knew who God was. So not all of us did, but that was the same idea. And then when we become adults, it's like we don't, you know, our parents may be older. They may not be as supportive. They may not be behind us like they were when we were a child. And so we think in our heads, we don't have backup. We don't have anybody that I can go back home to. Things are rough. I have to pay for everything myself. I can't even get a new car. What am I supposed to do? My car died. I don't have the money to repair. Like, all that stuff just starts popping out. And because that faith we had in our parents growing up, we misplaced it. And we think that's who was providing all that time. It was God. No matter how bad your childhood might have been, God was still providing good things throughout the bad stuff. And even if it was a terrible beginning, God was always trying to reach through you. If you weren't saved until you were older, God was always trying to reach you during those times. But the question is, what do we do? What can we change so that we have a better understanding of that? Being courageous, not being fearful, not being dismayed. Take a quick break. We look at Joshua again. Why would God keep repeating to him to not fear, to be courageous? There must have been some type of fear in Joshua, right? God called him out to go do. I mean, this is Joshua. He's in the Bible. He is a judge. He served with Moses or underneath Moses, right? So why would a man who, when he was a spy, a younger man spying for Israel, who went out there, saw what everybody else saw, came back and said, we can take that. 40 years later, his mentor dies. Now God's telling him to go lead. Why was he not confident this time around? Well, it's interesting because we go to Deuteronomy 34:9. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him, right? And we even go back up to, you know, Joshua 1:9. Now therefore, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people into the land that I have given you, right? And you scroll all the way down near the bottom. We go back to, there's certain things that God told him to do, and it was probably enough to remind him of where his faith is supposed to be. Because it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, the book of the law. It's basically like the scriptures. So when we are trying to do A, what God is asking us to do, two, it's scary, but we're willing to take that step, is because we understand that we have God's word in us, right? But you shall meditate on it day and night. God wants you to meditate on his word. Because this is probably episodes ago, I don't remember how far, but relationships. When we first met the woman that we loved, liked, wanted to be with, right? I always say this to a lot of the young people. Do you just say hi and walk away? And that's as far as it goes. So every time you see her, you just say hi. Nothing more. You just keep saying hi. Right? Does a relationship get built up from just saying hi? No, because you're not getting to know her. You're not spending time with her. You're not talking on the phone for hours with her. You're not going on dates with her. You're not getting to know her. This is the same concept. This is what it means when to know God is you're making time. But many Christians these days, they do the high game. I go to church. I go to my Bible study. I live the life I want to live at home. And so the relationship is built on a high method and a goodbye method. Spend time in God's word only at church or at the Bible study. Not as far as it goes. That there's something missing there. That's why your faith and trust in God isn't there. Because you hear all these lessons and teachings, but you don't meditate on the scriptures that you're getting taught. You're not growing in your walk because you hear it, but you don't necessarily like live it. You hear it, but you don't meditate on it. You hear it, but do you actually believe it? There are so many moments in my life that I mentioned earlier that I've seen God do amazing things, and yet I still struggle because of the unknown. I still struggle with fear. I still battle it because even though God has given me a vision, even though God has blessed us what we have right now to live, even though God has blessed us to be here in Georgia, I really like it here. You know, in the past 6-7 years before 2024, my wife and I have moved 6 times. And that's a lot of moving. And I'm not even in the military. But God provided. Every step of the way, he provided. We save a lot of money all the time because we keep thinking of the plan we're expecting to happen. And then something else happens. That's the thing. That's faith. That's walking in courage. You see, God would never ask you to go do something if he hasn't considered your family, your health, your issues, your battles, your struggles. That's all part of it. And our doubt is because as humans, we only see what we can see in front of us. We can only see what our eyes are able to see because we don't have the future ahead of us. So we doubt. Fear starts coming back in again, pulling us away from what God is asking us to do. You have to understand that though Joshua had wisdom and he trusted, there's a reason God's asking him to not be fearful, because it was scary what was about to happen. They're about to cross over the river and take back land, fighting armies that have been there a long time, kings who have ruled for decades, evils that were there. I mean, guys, we talk about demons, but there was demons back then. It's not like they took a break throughout the whole Old Testament and only came in the few times that the scripture shared. Demons are doing stuff, and they have their schemes. They're doing their own thing. There was a lot of evil in that land. They didn't love the Lord. They weren't kind, sweet, loving people that were following God's ways. They were using their kids as sacrifices. They were murdering people just because. They were serving gods for decades and decades and decades. There was no fear for God. That's something you have to get in your heads, of understanding what Joshua was going through in those moments just before he said, let's go. Because if you go to that verse down, verse 10, it says, and Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And he even preaches about, remember what Moses taught us, in that he even reminds them in verse 13, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. These are promises that God held. And Joseph willingly stepped in. But the thing is, do you know God? And if you do, do you believe in the word? Do you believe what you're reading? And it's good to ask other men, you know, hey, I'm struggling with this. I feel like I should be a minister. I don't know what to do. Can you pray for me? And then talk to men about it specifically. If some of the guys in the Discord or even someone in your life says to you, hey, you know, if you want to talk about it, we can talk it out. Do it. Because it will help. But here's the thing. You go to John 10, 27 to 28. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. We have given a promise that no matter what happens, no matter how bad it may get, how hard it may get, blessings, good things that can come out of it, God has us. We're not going to be snatched from him. So even if it ends up where you die, you know, sooner than you thought you were going to die, God has you. No matter if you going there and losing your, you know, your pet, like I did, within a year of moving to my first ministry job, God has you. Your kids are struggling, you know, with their behavior, and it seems like there's no answers and really frustrating. But you did it. You followed God. He has you. Because remember, the enemy is out to destroy you. And the more you're doing what God is asking you to do, the more it can get harder and harder to get things done. You'll get blocked. You'll get no responses. You may get hardships. You may get health problems. You may feel like you're in constant attack by demons. You may have someone who just doesn't like you and wants to get rid of you. You may have a lot of things happen to you, but here's the thing, is because you're willing to obey and do as he asks, you step away from that fear that's holding you back, keeping you in the shield and pride, that's trying to get you to stay comfortable, and you just step. This is not a word of faith ideology, guys. This is biblical. You can't make God do things for you, but when God's asking you to do something, do it. Even if it just seems hard, even if it's like you're giving up your retirement plan. You're giving up all this money that you're making. You do it because God will do amazing things because you have a willing heart. You know, the one thing that I go back to, because a lot of times people talk about Paul's thorn in his side and they kind of treat it as if, like, they don't treat it as what is really happening, because they misuse it instead of what it's really going on. You go to 2 Corinthians 12:1-10. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I'll go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told. So he's talking about this person told things that can't be shared. Okay. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except my weakness. Think about that for a second. Except my weakness, though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool. For I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, read that again. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. You understand? God will do things or allow things to happen to us to make sure we stay humble to his will in life. This is a very hard thing to take in. But here's the thing. When God's telling us to do something and we don't do it, and things seem comfortable, sometimes God lets you do what you want to do for a while. And then sometimes he starts making it uncomfortable again. And then he asks you again, and you still won't do what he asks. He'll allow you to be comfortable again. And then he'll do it again. But sometimes he'll give it to someone else. Someone else with a willing heart. And you may waste a lot of time, but maybe someday you'll finally say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. But here's the thing is, Paul says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. So he was asking for that harasser to go away. People kept thinking maybe it's conceited, or maybe the thorn is a hell thing, but it might have actually been an actual demon thing. I've been through that. It's hard. Anyway, so instead of what you would think, oh, well, God would, of course, this is Paul. This is a disciple of God. Why would he not remove? Jesus said to him, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. When I am weak, then I am strong. You guys, you read that again. It says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. You see, a lot of times with the things that we go through, I wish no one to go through what my wife and I went through for 10 years. There is so much crap and good, but it was hard to live. These past few years have been so much more better, but still we battle with our health. We still battle with our issues that we do have. And some of it is probably caused because of what we went through. But God is starting to take care of us. We found a doctor who seems to be interested in helping in a way that's amazing. Like it could be amazing, or it could be, this is what we're going to, you know, our health issue is going to be our health issue. And we're never going to necessarily get away from it. However, God could still heal. God could still fully heal anybody that he so chooses in his will. But here's the thing. Paul was basically a missionary apostle who went out and told people about Jesus. He had this thorn, a messenger of Satan, who constantly tormented him. And we know that he had been left for dead for stoning. We know he's been put in prison. We know that he's gone through where he got bitten by a snake but didn't die. We know all these different things that kept going on, because he says there, with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, he has gone through the ringer. In many cases, not all in one shot, but over time, right? But he was still willing to step forward in courage and strength. Remember, courage and strength. And I'm sure there was some fear and dismay that tried to creep in, but he remembered because his focus was on the Lord, because he knew who the Lord was. He walked with the Lord. So there will be times that we'll go through that has a purpose to keeps us from boasting for ourselves. There's going to be times you're going to go through where God's trying to direct you where he needs you to go. And not every change is going to suddenly make you poor and you're going to be struggling on everything. It may be another path to take you to help you grow even further and do more than what you would have been doing if you were still working at that first job. Or maybe you're in the wrong college. Yeah, but I'm going to Harvard. Well, it doesn't mean that's the college you're supposed to be in. Maybe you're seeking out the wrong desires because they're more about yourself than it is about God, because you haven't asked. Maybe you're not supposed to buy that house that you think you're supposed to be buying because you have the money to do it. See, God's plans and ways are never our ways. But we can ask him. We can ask him what to do. We can ask him for guidance. We can ask for direction. But when he is being very, very specific in what you're supposed to be doing, and you're hesitant, you're stepping back, you're hiding back in your hole, you're staying comfortable, you're raising up that banner of fear again. Because whatever he's asking you to do is probably going to be uncomfortable and it's going to uproot your whole family or uproot yourself and do something completely out of the ordinary than what you were expecting. Because I could tell you this, that is my story for the past 13 years. I have seen a lot of uproot and movement, and the one thing my wife and I have never had is actually a place that we called home quite yet. We've never been rooted, is what I've used before. But I can tell you this, even though I wish nothing, like all that I went through, on anybody, I am grateful, because in my weakness, he was made strong. And all this I learned and got better understanding of who he really was. And I've gotten less allowance of the fear to take in or the uncertainty to control me, and more certain as time has gone. And sadly, it's taken me this long. It should have been something. I mean, I was brought up in church since I was a baby. I was saved by the age of 8. But I'm still learning, still growing, still gaining better knowledge about who God is. And then it's still challenging me in my walk. This is your time, guys. Don't walk in fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I ask that you use this for your glory, for your honor, and that it just be you. It's not me impacting these men, Lord. It's you, the Holy Spirit, what it does and how it connects. I just ask you continue to use me as your jar, as your tool for your glory, for your gospel. I pray you help any men that are struggling with fear when they should be doing something to stop allowing fear to control them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all have a great day, great week, and I will see you next time. God bless.